Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Do not fear the devil, for it is not real. True evil lies within the hearts of men, and through my mirror it is revealed. The devil in our lesson today exploited the chaos of World War II in France to satisfy his wicked desires. It is believed that he killed around 60 people, but the actual number of his victims is not yet known. Most of them were scared people trying to flee from the war zone and fell victim to Marcel Patois, also known as Dr. Satan. Magic mirror on the wall, who is the most rotten one of all? Hi, hello, and howdy, my darlings, and welcome to Rotten to the Core. I am the not-so-evil queen, Joshua Waters, and I'm thrilled to have you join my lessons. This is the history podcast where we use my magic mirror and a touch of humor to explore the lives and actions of some infamous figures from our past. Our goal? To learn valuable lessons from their mistakes that can help us in our current lives. It is almost time for Persephone to emerge from the underworld and rejoin her mother, otherwise known as Spring. I've been connecting with Persephone during my journey of self-discovery and have gained valuable insights from her. But as I delve deeper into my research on the underworld and the various individuals who have ruled it throughout time, I found myself spiraling down a rabbit hole. Amidst all the dark and twisted tales, one name stood out like a festering wound. That of Dr. Satan. His reputation as a vile and rotten man is unmatched. Marcel Patois was born on January 17th, Betty White's birthday, in 1897. 100 miles south of Paris in Yon. His dad, Felix, was a postal worker, and his mom, Martha, worked in the home. When he was just 5, his teachers noticed that he was pretty bright, reading like a 10-year-old. But he wasn't the most social kid and had difficulty focusing. By the age of 11, he had started to show some strong signs of abuse from somewhere, although it's not clear from whom. He had gotten in trouble at school when he propositioned a boy and then a girl to perform sexual activity with him and for having photos of naked women. Then, shortly after that, he stole his dad's gun and shot it while in history class and was also caught throwing knives at a so-called friend of his. With friends like these, who needs enemies? His parents were worried about his health, and they told doctors that he had convulsions, sleepwalking problems, and often wet himself, Sadly, his mom passed away in 1912, and his father found a new job in a different town. Marcel was sent to live with his aunt, and at the end of the year, he got expelled from school. For the first time. He was then sent back to his dad, but was soon expelled again for being too rowdy and excitable. When he was 17, he committed his first real offense by robbing a mailbox. That led to charges of theft and damage to public property, and prompted a psychiatric evaluation, which did reveal that he was suffering from a mental illness. The psychiatrist who performed the evaluation said that he had an abnormal youth suffering from personal and hereditary problems, which limit to a large degree his responsibility for his acts. Due to that diagnosis, the charges were dropped and he was able to avoid further legal consequences. He then got kicked out of two more schools before finally finishing his studies in Paris at some special academy in July of 1915. After the outbreak of World War I in the following year, Marcel was drafted into the French infantry, which marked a turning point in his life, as he was suddenly thrust into the chaos and uncertainty of the battlefield. He was injured after a few months while in battle when a grenade went off near him. Shrapnel was blasted into him, and he was hit with some poisonous gas that left him unconscious. While healing at multiple facilities, Marcel was charged with stealing all kinds of things, from blankets to the wallets and jewelry of other patients. Kleptomania will be a common occurrence in this lesson. When he was caught, he was jailed and sent to a psychiatric facility for an evaluation. There, he was diagnosed as suffering from mental disequilibrium, neurasthenia, mental depression, melancholia, obsessions, and phobia. And once again, they ruled him not guilty by reason of insanity. Honestly, I think most of us in the modern world would be diagnosed with one or more of those. And even though he was diagnosed, it didn't stop him from going back to battle. But when he returned to the front line in June 1918, he had a nervous breakdown and purposefully shot himself in the foot to get out of service, which led to him being granted permission to retire and receive military benefits. After the war, he joined an accelerated education program for veterans and earned his medical degree in just 8 months. Yes, from a soldier diagnosed with multiple mental illnesses to a full-fledged doctor in just a few months. Then he started fresh in Yon, where he immediately began stealing from his patients and the government. On arrival, he printed flyers comparing himself to the town's two elderly doctors. They read, "Dr. Patois is young, and only a young doctor can keep up to date with the latest methods born of a progress which marches with giant strides. That is why intelligent patients have confidence in him. Dr. Patois treats but does not exploit his patients." Our tests determine that was a lie. Aside from charging his patients and the government as well, he liked to prescribe unnecessary narcotics to people, knowing that they would become addicted and need to keep coming and paying for appointments. Kind of sounds like how the current opioid crisis was started. Within a few months of moving, Marcel started dating the daughter of one of his patients, a young woman named Louise Delaveau. It's uncertain as to who did it, but shortly after their courtship began, her house was broken into and caught on fire. And sadly, that wouldn't be the end of it. Only a few months later, Louise went missing, and neighbors told police that they had seen Marcel dragging a trunk big enough to fit a human body into the trunk of his sports car. And just 2 weeks later, a similar-looking trunk was pulled from a nearby river with the body of a young woman inside. This is so messed up. The body couldn't be identified because of the decomposition, and Louise was written off as a runaway. Marcel got off scot-free with his first murder. Allegedly. He then became the mayor of Yon after winning the election in 1926. You must remember that people didn't know about all the rotten things he was doing behind closed doors. They believed they were voting for an honest and trustworthy doctor. The following June, he somehow convinced a woman named Georgette Leblay, a 23-year-old daughter of a wealthy landowner, to marry him. Their only child, a son named Gerard, was born the following April. I'm not really sure what happened to them. I'm assuming they might have taken a page out of Marcel's playbook and possibly changed their names and moved. That's what I would have done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
American Criminal is a new true crime podcast from the studio behind American Scandal and American History Tellers. Every week, you'll fall deeper into the riveting stories of the country's most clever, craven, and cruel criminals. Fraud, theft, murder, and worse. Whatever the case, whoever the criminal, you don't know the whole story until now. The debut season tackles one of the most sensational cases of the 20th century, the Menendez murders. In 1989, young Lyle and Eric Menendez brutally shot their own parents. Prosecutors and the press said it was a multi-million dollar inheritance that led two greedy rich kids to murder. But the picture-perfect facade this Hollywood family built hid troubling abuse. Could these teenagers have been driven to kill? Or was it even in self-defense? Listen now. Go to AmericanCriminal.com or search for and follow American Criminal wherever you get your podcasts.
While mayor, he took a lot of money from the town's funds. But soon the people found out and he was removed by August 1931. Even though he was suspended, a lot of folks still had his back. So the village elected him as councilor just 2 months later. He must have been either highly charismatic or they were just mindlessly ignorant. The following year, surprise, surprise, he was again found stealing from the village, and his council seat was taken from him. Marcel, then burdened by the shame and disgrace of losing his position, yet again, fled to Paris in search of new opportunities to prey on vulnerable patients. He knew his charm and cunning would help him find new people to exploit. To make matters worse, the onset of World War II and the occupation of France by Germany provided ample opportunity for the rotten doctor to prosper. The Nazis weren't the only evil on the prowl. Once they were in power, Nazis began sending French citizens to Germany to work in slave labor camps. Pétois then began a scheme to create and distribute fraudulent medical disability certificates. And through that scheme, people who were at risk of being sent to Germany were able to avoid it by faking medical conditions. Marcel also provided assistance to laborers who were returning from their assignments. Now that sounds like a nice thing to do, but don't get your hopes up. This is where the really rotten stuff begins. Yes, it gets worse. In Paris, he established a criminal activity center that defrauded people by promising them safe passage to South American countries for a considerable sum of 25,000 francs. Luring unsuspecting victims with false promises of a better life away from the war. Those targeted included Jews, members of the resistance, and regular criminals. Once they were under Marcel's control, though, They were convinced that the Argentine authorities required all asylum seekers to vaccinate against diseases. They were then injected with straight cyanide and suffocated to death as he took all of their money and belongings. At first, he would dump the bodies in nearby rivers, but soon the number of victims began to climb, so he changed to burning them in his basement and burying the remains in a pit filled with quicklime in his backyard. His neighbors soon told the authorities that there was a foul stench. They were also informed of the large amounts of smoke from the house's chimney. The police discovered a coal stove in the basement of his house and the quicklime pit, along with human remains in both. He must not have been home at the time when the cops showed up because he ran away and started living under a different name, Henri Valery, and enlisted in the French forces of the interior. His disguise, he grew out his hair and grew a beard. Now pay attention because this is wild. Under his new name and position, he was tasked with finding a wanted criminal believed to still be in Paris. Who was the criminal, you say? Dr. Marcel Patois. Yeah, you heard me. He was literally tasked with finding himself. I'm not saying blame the police on this one, and I know there weren't many photos of people back then, but my stars. Did none of the people see a wanted poster, look at him, and think, that looks like him with a beard? On October 31st, at 10:15 a.m., Marcel Patois was finally nabbed by the authorities at a Paris metro station after being recognized. Finally! The long arm of the law had finally caught up with him, and he was about to face music for his crimes. In his possession were over 30,000 francs, a gun, and over 50 documents with six different names. The trial got a lot of media attention, too, and they gave Marcel some crazy names like Dr. Satan, Butcher of Paris, and Monster of Rue Lassure. He tried to sway the judge and jury by claiming he only killed France's enemies as a resistance fighter, but they weren't buying any of it. He confessed to killing 19 of the 27 victims and that they were all Germans and collaborators ranked among the enemies of France. As for the other victims, he told the court, "I don't have to justify myself for murders I am not accused of committing." Well, it only took the jury 3 hours to deliver a guilty verdict for 26 premeditated murders and given a death sentence. And early on the morning of May 25th, 1946, a portable guillotine was delivered to the prison. When he was taken from his cell, he said no to the traditional glass of rum, but he did take a cigarette. He also agreed to meet with the prison chaplain for his wife's sake, telling the minister, "I'm not a religious man, and my conscience is clean." He was then led up to the guillotine as his hands were bound and neck shaved. And it is said that he was overly calm during all of this and acted as if it were just another regular day. His final words were, "Gentlemen, I ask you not to look. This will not be very pretty." Then at 5:05 a.m., the blade was released and his head was removed from his body. And leaving one last emotional scar for onlookers, they all said that he had a smile on his face as his head rolled into the basket. Gross. The lessons I learned from Marcel Patois are 1, always run a background check on someone before I hire them, and 2, don't be deceived by a degree or a title. The person you believe to be helping you could possibly be committing rotten things to you behind closed doors. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to schedule an appointment with my therapist about my renewed trust issues. And that brings us to the end of our lesson for today, my darlings. Let's cleanse ourselves and I'll let you be off on your next adventure. Just take a deep breath and ground yourself in the here and now. I ask for clear communication between myself, my body, mind, and spirit, so that I may live in harmony with myself and those around me. Clear any negative thoughts within my mind and heart space. May I move forward with clarity and alignment with my highest self, so that I can move through my journey with ease and flow and magnetize my greatest desires. May I always remember that I am in constant connection and co-creation with Source. So be it. Thank you for supporting Rotten to the Core. Let's catch up again next week. In the meantime, stay happy, find peace, and don't hurt anyone. I'd love to hear what you thought about Dr. Satan and what lessons you learned on any one of my socials. If you enjoy Rotten to the Core, please follow me on Instagram or join me on Patreon. Both of those are at It's Rotten to the Core. My TikTok is at Rotten in History. And you can also listen to me on my other podcast, Mystery Inc., which I do with my brother Shane. And we have a Facebook group called Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole, where we will interact and have a plethora of extra fun, foul, mysterious, rotten, and historical things a-brewing. It was lovely spending time with you today. Have an amazing week, my darlings. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.